Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. It's the Tony Perkins Show, featuring Gary Stein. No, they're not related. They're just good friends. It's Tony and Gary.
Bam! Bam! I love this song.
I do too. I play it every night. It helps me go to sleep.
No, it should wake you up.
Well, after I get really excited, run around the house, it helps me fall asleep.
Oh, I see. Okay, very good. Good day, everybody. I'm Tony Perkins.
I'm Gary Stein.
And welcome to the broadcast. We are happy to have you here, as always. And I think I say this every week. I thought about this on the drive-in. We have a jam-packed show. I think I always say that.
Why don't you say something else?
All right. This show is chock full of goodness.
Go back to jam pack.
it's also chock full of nuts.
Well, it is. Today's edition in particular is chock full of nuts. Welcome to the broadcast. I'll tell you what's going to go on in just a moment. But first, I want to remind you to please like the Tony Perkins Show on Facebook. More and more of you are doing it. We appreciate that. The numbers are up, aren't they, Rob Ford Jr.?
They are.
We love it. You can also follow us on Twitter at T-Perk Show. That's on Twitter at T-Perk Show. Also, be sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes by searching More Broadcasting and then clicking on the Tony Perkins Show.
5-star reviews, please. Always appreciate
it. Always appreciate it. They really are. Yes. Could you do me a favor, since you read that every week, but you make it sound like you're not reading because you're that good?
Yes.
could you find a way to change "please like us"? It really
it does sound
"please
desperate.
Like us"
meaty.
Is so. I feel when you read that, I feel a little pathetic.
Here's the thing: it's a social media term now.
Yeah.
Because if it wasn't, it would say "please like us."
How about "please click like"?
Please click like.
Yeah. I know that doesn't sit well in the mouth, but it sounds less needy.
Please click like on the
click.
How about if you don't find us annoying? could you say something nice?
I thought you were just going to ask me to read the whole thing in a different kind of way. I was going to say I could read it backwards if you want.
Can you read the whole thing in Pig Latin?
If you do,
I'm done.
I was never good at Pig Latin, and I'm not going to read it backwards. That's a waste of time. Anyway, Tony and Gary here. working the board for us once again, Mr. Rob Spiewak.
Hello, friends. Such a pleasure.
Visiting us from the Mike O'Mara Show and our own trustworthy and wonderful youthful ward, Rob Ford Jr.
Wow.
Yeah.
What the hell was that?
I didn't realize you were going to be talking about my high school girlfriend.
Who's your high school girlfriend?
Pig Latin.
Wow, I walked right into that. Yeah. Pig Latin.
But what does that say about his girlfriend choices?
That is mean, yeah. Rob Ford Jr. Speaking of Rob Ford Jr., we got to get right to a little bit of business here. Rob, could you hit the music, please, Mr. Spiewak?
Yeah. Thought you'd like this version, Tony.
Happy birthday to you.
Oh, yeah.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
The wannabe Beatles.
No, this is the Beatles.
It is the Beatles?
It really is. It's from the most recent BBC release.
Oh, my goodness.
Volume 2, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I haven't listened to the whole album yet.
It's okay.
Yeah. Rob Ford Jr. celebrated a birthday within the last few days. Happy birthday to you, Rob Ford Jr.
62 years old.
I look fantastic.
You really do.
Can you tell us what you did on your birthday?
I just met up with some friends, just went out for a dinner, and that was about it, something low-key.
No, wait. That's what you told Anita and John.
Oh.
You tell us. Those are his parents.
Oh, I see.
Tell us what you did on your birthday, Rob.
Well, actually, that is true, but next weekend I'll be going out to West Virginia to visit one of my friends.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, from college. Yeah, it'll be a great time.
Visiting Pig Latin.
That's what I was going to I was going to say, did Pig Latin give you a call?
Do you have any pictures of Pig Latin?
I don't want to see them.
No, you don't want to see that.
Well, we got you something for your birthday.
Sparing no expense.
A little thing to celebrate, and we were unsure what to do. First of all, folks, Rob Ford, when we first started working with Rob, he had a little more heft to him than he does now.
Oh, you're so PC about that.
Really nice.
You're doing that so nicely. You were a little bit overweight, weren't you?
A little bit, yeah.
But Rob has, you know, I think because of the rising stardom, people recognizing him on the street now and all of that kind of thing.
He paparazzi?
Paparazzi, that's right. You're losing weight. You've lost some weight.
Well, that and the stress of the show, so.
Oh.
That can be fixed. You know what? In just a couple of weeks, you could have about 30 pounds back.
Oh, man. That backfired.
I can return these gifts. Anyway, why don't you hand that to him? We thought
look at
you might like some cupcakes.
Well, yes, you need to make some choices here.
Yeah. We thought you would like some cupcakes, but then we realized, but he's trying to do the right thing now.
Sure.
And pull back. So we got you that. Read that. Tell them what that is, Gary.
This is a Fiber Love self-baked fiber bar.
If you're going to do a read, hold on.
Yeah. Yes.
Go ahead.
It's made with cinnamon raisin, 48% of your daily fiber requirements, which is why I think you leave the room so much. You must be doing something already for fiber, but it's very, very low in calories, has no trans fats, and, it won't attack your arteries the way the cupcakes will. Here you go, Rob Ford. Please make a choice.
Oh.
Fiber Love or the knockoff Hostess cupcakes?
Well, they're tasty cake. I think they probably are.
Can you hold those up for a second? Because here's the thing. They are tasty cake. They look just like the Hostess. They're the chocolate cupcakes with that ring of icing.
The curly trail of icing, yeah.
I would think that would be copyrighted by Hostess.
Well, you don't know which came first. Tasty cake has been around a long time.
This is true. Can
Rob,
you copyright icing?
I don't think so. But it is a particular design that is unique to Hostess cupcakes.
Well, Rob Spiewak, you know, you're able to do just about anything. Right now, within the next 30 seconds, I'd like a representative from Tasty Cake and Hostess on the show.
I'm sorry. We had them, but we had to get the paddles. They went down. I'm sorry.
All right.
Still waiting on Little Debbie.
So make your choice, please. Will it be Tasty Cakes or Fiber Love?
You know what? I'm a new man. I'm going Fiber Love.
Oh, man. Oh, you know what that... You know what that means? Leaves the tasty cake to Tony. Here you go, buddy.
We also have a card for you. Gary, pick that out.
Yeah.
You don't open it, Gary. You give it to Rob.
Well, thank you very much.
Now, is it a recycled card? Because it's not sealed. No. Has it been given to someone before?
No.
If you want to read it, you can.
All right, it's up to you. There's a beautiful star. It looks like it has one too many points on it. I'm counting six. Okay.
Yeah.
Good to go?
Yeah, I'm familiar with that.
Oh, okay. Great. On your bar mitzvah.
That can't be right.
Abraham, David, and all the ancient fathers of our great nation stand behind you today as you are called to the Torah. No longer a boy, but a man who has studied and devoted himself to wisdom and faith.
I have a tear in my eye.
I do too.
The card actually mentions Abraham and the others?
It really does, and it's confusing because you actually have to read it from right to left. So.
When I very good, Rob. When I first saw the card, I picked it up because I thought it was Abraham, Martin, and John.
I see. I know you're a big fan of the record.
We didn't, we got the card, but if you want us to sign it, you can give it back. Yeah. We'd be glad to sign it for you.
We don't want you to feel this was last minute, but pass it over. I'll sign it right now. That was the best you could do up on mitzvah card.
We don't want to seal it because if we seal it, it'll still be wet and he'll know that we just did it.
That's right. So happy birthday to you.
Thank you very much. It's very kind.
We hope it was a good one.
Good guy, this Rob Ford. I like him.
Yes, he is.
Yes, he is.
Wonderful. All right. Moving right along.
And when you signed that, was it going to be a real sincere thing or more of your news guy autograph?
Well, you see, I set it aside so that the machine could sign it.
And we didn't really care that much.
No, of course not. Okay.
I can't believe this mentions Abraham, David, and all the ancient fathers.
All the guys.
You know, you promised to move on.
Okay, all right. First, let me say this. We have a great guest joining us today.
A
very good friend of mine. He's going to be in studio with us in just a few moments, as a matter of fact. Chris Paul. Chris Paul is one of the funniest people I've ever known, a great comedian.
Don't set him up like that, because now he's obligated to be hysterical.
Yeah, I know. That's it. Comedians hate when you do that. Oh, this guy's brilliantly
funny.
Here's
the funniest guy I've ever met in my life, Chris.
Chris Paul, of course, part of the Tom Joyner Morning Show on syndicated radio all over the country, and works very closely with his good friend Huggy Lowdown. The two of them tour. The two of them are on the radio show, and man, that when you see them live, that is a night of comedy. You will literally, at the end of the night, your sides will be hurting. So
really?
Yeah. I'm serious.
Did you? Some people have to change their pants.
Some people have to change their pants, yes.
Some people choose to change their pants.
So Chris Paul will be with us in just a little bit.
Very good.
Yeah. We wanted to. You had something you wanted to talk about.
Don't I always?
Yeah.
Can you imagine? You're going to throw it to me and say, Gary, is there anything you want to say today? I go, nah, I'm good. I'm all right. Well, I've noticed something, and you know, it always fits into like this. This annoys me, you know. But
yeah, sure.
But
yeah.
There is a trend in television, and I bet all of you have noticed it. It's really mostly on the dramas. On the scripted TV shows, not the reality TV shows, which mm-hmm. I also hate.
Mm-hmm.
But there's this trend. I don't think anybody really has any faith that we're willing to follow an A and B plot story,
okay.
and that'll be good enough for us anymore.
Hmm.
I think that they want us to try to follow 13 stories.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
And keep the characters straight.
There are some very rich, you're right, primarily dramas. Some of them have mystical elements to them.
Yes.
And they're, although not all of them, I'm a big fan of Boardwalk Empire.
Okay,
which,
yeah, great okay, show. I am too. But yeah. That's a great example, because here's the thing. Boardwalk Empire, it's been on a couple of years now. I've been watching it since the very beginning. I don't think I've missed an episode. It is very difficult to keep the gang straight, the storyline straight. And here's how you know why that's true. At the very end of every episode, Terrence Winters, the producer, comes on and explains the episode.
Yeah.
So we now need an explainer at the end of every show so that we know what we just watched.
Yeah, yeah, which is, you didn't used to have that on TV shows.
No, you never have it. And also, it seems to me that television, the shows, the high profile shows, the ones that everyone say, oh, you got to watch, this is appointment mm-hmm. television, they're harder to watch. There's just so much going on.
Yes.
You can't be doing something and watch it.
Right.
You have
right.
to like grit your teeth and focus, or you're going to be out of luck for the next 3 weeks.
Which is why it's important to DVR everything now, because I swear uh-huh. I have to go back and rewatch to see what I missed.
Well, let me tell you, I'm a fan of Boardwalk Empire. I think it's a very well-written show. I do enjoy the show, but you're right. There are and it's not an, you know, most shows used to have an A plot line and a B plot line. Now mm-hmm. they have C, D, E, F, G, you know, a whole bunch of stuff going on.
How far can you go with those letters?
Oh, that I did as far as I can go. Please don't call me up. But they are complicated. And the really big thing I find is that when they're off, like I think Boardwalk does 13 episodes or something like that, then they're off.
For this, 2 years.
This is their
like
last
every show,
season.
They're off for 2 years.
Off for
they come
2 years
back,
now, which
and
is crazy.
And you're supposed to remember what happened when you come back.
Well, thank goodness they do, like on HBO and a lot of the channels, they do these recap shows.
Well, they have
like
to. These,
yeah, because otherwise you won't remember the show. This year when the show started and Chalky White was on the chain gang, I literally was like, why is he on a chain gang?
I forgot too. Yeah. I forgot too. And also he got really wimpy this year, you know, because he's got that partner he escaped with.
Yeah.
And it's like Chalky can't make a decision now.
Well,
Chalky
I think
was like,
wimpy. He's broken down. And
if I want to think he's wimpy, I can.
What did Terrence Winter say at the end of the show?
He said
is this
not,
what the guy told you to think?
No, Terrence said, for those of you who think he's wimpy, he's really not. but you know, I resent the fact that Terrence Winters comes on.
Right.
But I actually wait for it because he does fill me in on stuff that I've just watched that I didn't understand. And here's another thing. I just don't want to work that hard.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. tough.
I want to be entertained. I want to have a good time. I don't mind a complicated storyline.
Yeah.
But if you need a scorecard to try to keep track of what happened.
Yeah.
I mean, there are many shows like that. And
can I say one thing about the Terrence Winter thing, though, real quick?
You definitely don't need to ask me. This is your show.
Well, it's our show. It's our show. Thank you, Gary. Does it make you feel, well, I won't put it on you. It
no,
makes
put it on me.
Me
it's okay.
Does it make you feel stupid a little bit?
It makes me feel like I obviously have lost some synapses. and can't completely keep track of, but I also really think it's because there's so much time in between, and but it does make me feel a little bit stupid.
Well,
like I
like the explainers, but then I sometimes feel like, wow, oh, I didn't catch that, or I didn't get that motif.
But don't you think the point is that if we need the explainers, they're really doing something wrong?
They're being too clever. Maybe. You know, yeah. They're like, are they trying to outwit us?
We're too busy. It's well, just.
I think Aaron maybe. Sorkin is one of the guys who keeps trying to show us how brilliant he
oh,
is.
I, yeah.
And I
oh, yeah.
can't
yes.
stand that.
I mean, you know, I appreciate what he does. I had to bail on the newsroom because it was too... No one talks like all those people talk.
No. And you and I have been in newsrooms long
yep,
enough.
Absolutely
There's
right.
There's also, you know, we can accept this,
right.
which is no show has so many things happening
right.
in real life
right.
as they do on the show. I
right.
get
That's
that.
Right. That's
but
right.
what Aaron Sorkin does, which I can't stand, is that every single character says exactly what they're thinking in the most articulate
yes.
way.
Yes.
And in the moment, none of us can do that.
Yeah.
No, and also, as he gets more and more brilliant, Aaron Sorkin has more and more people talking at the same time.
Boy,
he does.
Yeah. And
he
it's
does.
A contrivance. Yeah. I don't like it.
I've liked his shows, yeah. other shows.
West Wing. I loved West
yes.
Wing.
Yes, loved it. Did he do Boston Legal? Is that him? No, that was David
no,
Kelly. Was that
David Kelly?
And he
That's
also did Studio 60 Sunset Strip.
I liked that
it
show.
It was great, but it ended up losing out to 30 Rock because it was
yes.
two shows about the same
That's
premise.
Right. That's
I,
right.
I think in his shows, he's trying to show us how impressed he is with his own writing.
See, I don't think he's trying to do that, but that's what he ends up doing.
I think what he's doing is he's trying to show us how impressed he is with his own writing.
Very possible.
Okay, I agree.
you don't have to.
And there is not a hallway that long in the entire world. They're just walking down hallways.
Oh,
I don't think there's really a hallway that long.
Where they're just walking and talking. That's
People
very...
spinning off and coming back. And...
I'm also sick
no.
of Sam Waterston behaving as if he's about to fall down.
Yeah.
I don't enjoy that character.
I bailed
at all.
On that show. I was kind of enjoying it, but then it started going places where I was just like, and the whole cutesy thing between. Who's the main actor there? The lead anchor?
Jeff Daniels.
Jeff Daniels.
Yeah.
And the executive producer.
I've never enjoyed Jeff Daniels because he has no lips.
I like Jeff Daniels.
No lips at all, really?
No lips. No.
This lips.
Is like, can we have a telethon or
anybody
something?
Anybody who doesn't have an upper lip is really hard to trust.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
You know, what? No, you can't say that.
I can say anything I want. I don't have
did.
To be right.
Yeah.
I don't have to be right.
And I'd like to remind everyone that's listening is that after this episode, Rob Ford will stick around and explain this entire episode to you.
That would be great.
Now, let
me just say to all of our listeners with no upper lip, Gary does not speak for all of us.
I think there's a secret here. I think the reason why Tony's never shaved his mustache is because... There might not. In fact, I would like to do that on air and maybe run pictures on our website.
Yeah. I refuse.
Well, you know, this has gotten awfully weird awfully fast.
It always
you
seems to. And, you know, we never mean to go where we're going.
That's true.
Isn't that true?
That's
now,
true.
Let me get back on track because right. I'd like to talk about something that I did hang in with for the entire season. And I didn't understand one single episode, and I kept waiting for the show to get to its season conclusion to really let me in on what it was all about. And you know what? Because it was created by the people who created Lost, and I got suckered into that show, and they didn't even bother wrapping up 60 storylines on that one. They just ended the show. Oh, we're all dead.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah,
so,
right.
So what happened? I hated that.
It's the first time a show was named after the audience.
Right. So, that's good.
Very
that's
true.
Very that is true. Great.
Can I say something about Lost?
Don't ask me that.
Why do I keep saying that?
Just say it.
Yeah.
You know? No, don't.
I loved the promos for Lost and, you know, the plane crashing off. I was in. And that first episode, wow, that was fantastic.
Dynamite, right?
Yeah.
Very good.
When I guess I didn't expect the show to be what it became. When it started getting into the smoke monster and all that,
I'm like, what the hell?
And
what about the two Cain and Abel brothers who, like, never, one was good, one was evil, and then we never found out what happened to them?
Yeah, once it got into a season or two and questions were being raised and not answered and you're being teased, I was like, enough of this.
I wanted to bitch slap the creators right early on, very early on. You know,
did it have to do with their upper lip?
I never saw the upper lip, but I suspected that somebody very high up didn't have one.
Yeah, could be.
Now, what is the show that they're doing now that you're...
Okay, so... I might be one of the leftovers, actually, watching The Leftovers.
Oh, the
I'm
leftovers.
Really not sure.
The Leftovers.
But I have just as many questions after the conclusion as I did on the very first episode. And I would like us to reach out and see if we can find it, if any people believe in it, feel the same way I do.
And the Leftovers, well, let me, on the Leftovers, first of all, terrible name for a show.
Yeah, I thought it was a cooking show.
That's what when I first saw it, I thought this was going to be a new cooking show, and I actually thought, that's an interesting twist.
Yeah, sure.
What can you do with Leftovers?
Yeah,
right.
But so here's, the premise is, and I think there are a couple of shows like this now, a bunch of people have disappeared.
Right.
Right? Kind of like Rapture-like.
Maybe.
Could be. That's a theory.
It feels that
there,
way.
Right?
It feels like it could be Armageddon.
Is this the show where it's like 3% of the population, or is that a different show?
Yes, has disappeared.
Okay.
We've got people in white. We don't know why. Mm-hmm. They all smoke cigarettes. We don't know why. They've all left their families. They don't speak. They write on pads. We don't know why. And I kept thinking, okay, even though it's you guys from Lost,
mm-hmm. right,
you're going to tell us some of it.
So they've done a whole season and no answers.
So
when you watch the first episode, was your thought, this is so intriguing, there's so much going on, I can't wait to get the revelation of why all this stuff is going on?
Yes.
And that's what sucked you in?
Yes.
And they've not given you that?
They have not. And well, I feel like a fool that I hung in.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like a fool that I'm done.
You're out.
My wife and I watched it every week, waiting to see.
See?
And we what we did is we lit a candle for the death of the Leftovers.
Oh, how nice.
Wow, you really get into these shows.
I photoshopped one of the lead characters, and I erased his upper lip.
And now it makes sense.
The ceremonial erasing of the upper lip.
I was going to try to find a way to tie it in, and there it was.
And there
right
you did
there
it,
for
exactly.
me.
We actually posted on our Facebook page and on Twitter, if you've watched The Leftovers, reach out to us because we want to get your input. And we had several people respond.
We did?
Many people, Tony. Yeah, many. Yeah,
thousands, really.
Well, let's not get crazy. but the first person to respond on Facebook was someone named Beth Lee, who I happen to know. We went to high school together.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So she watched the show, judging from what she wrote on Facebook, not for very long. Let's give her a call.
Please do. Now, and you were a local guy. What high school did you go to?
Mount Vernon High School in Alexandria, Virginia, Fairfax County.
I've seen you actually out there covering stuff for Channel 5. Is it cool to go back
to
the high school?
It is very cool to go back, and they're always all excited and everything, and it's just nice to walk those halls again, and yeah. Beth Lee? Beth?
Yes, sir.
Hey, it's me,
yep.
Tony.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. We're on the air doing the Tony Perkins Show featuring Gary Stein. I'm going to have you say hello to Gary Stein in just a moment, although he's having a brief malfunction with his headphones. Beth, say hello. Let's see if Gary can hear you now.
Hello to Gary Stein.
Oh, I can hear you, Beth.
How are you?
Great voice. You know, if we had more time on the show, I'd ask you questions about Tony Perkins that are very personal, and I would like them on air, but we don't really have time for that.
Yeah, we're not going to go there. Yeah.
Oh, that could be another whole show.
I think let's plan on that.
Could be its own podcast.
I did tell everybody that we went to high school together.
We did.
Yes, and you're she's one of my best friends. She's a wonderful woman.
You all, she just said we did, but she didn't sound very excited about it.
Well, as long as he didn't tell you how long ago that was.
No,
it was weeks. It was weeks.
10 years ago, Beth.
He just got his diploma in the mail.
So Beth, that wasn't a diploma, it was a GED.
Of course.
Hey, just as good. So Beth, you were kind enough to respond to us on Facebook about The Leftovers. So you watched The Leftovers.
I watched 2 episodes, and then I bailed. Usually I'll give a show 2 to 3 episodes. If it doesn't catch my attention, then it's done.
I was a fool, and I waited through all 13. What was the sort of bailing point for you? Because I'd love to know what made you go away.
There were a lot of pros, the main one being the Justin Theroux character, good to look at, but... it was the idea, whether it be a rapture or alien abduction, I don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole wife leaving him, going to this cult that doesn't speak but smokes cigarettes constantly, that was way beyond bizarre.
Yeah, it was.
This show sounds... I didn't watch one episode. It just sounds strange.
It was strange. And I'm all about the strange and the weird. I love it. But that, I couldn't get into. And I was thinking I would read the book. And then I was kind of like, I don't even think I'm going to go
Let me ask a question, because both of you mentioned the same thing. The producers of the show, by any chance, Philip Morris? it sounds like smoking is
maybe a
big
sponsor.
Theme. Yeah. So you're out. You're not. That's enough for you. You weren't getting any answers, and you're done.
I didn't expect to get answers right away, but I didn't expect them to go off shooting all the dogs either. I thought that was kind of weird too.
And we don't know why they did. Look, I told you, I got to the finale of season one, and we still don't know why they shot the dogs. And I needed to know that early because
do the dogs smoke?
No, but they wear the white coats.
Okay,
maybe,
good.
Maybe because they weren't smoking, that's why they shot them.
Ah, exactly.
Hey, Beth. Beth, somebody wrote on our Facebook page that they did go so far as to read the book, and at the end of the book, they didn't get the answers.
No!
No!
Yes!
No!
Yes! So knowing that, my wife and I decided we're out. We're not watching anymore. I mean, you were smart. You bailed early, and I just tried to hold on because I thought, I need to know why they smoke. I need to know why they wear the white coats. And I thought that eventually, in season one, they're going to have to answer some questions.
You were invested. It's like, if you're going to spend $5,000 on your car to repair it, you want to get to the end where the car runs.
Sure,
You're into this.
It sounds like they're just bringing up stuff and then moving on to something else and not telling you anything.
Right.
Yeah, I'm mad about the dogs.
Beth, are you a Walking Dead fan?
I am a Walking Dead fanatic.
Oh, so am I, Beth. I didn't miss an episode.
Never, ever.
No.
So what are they doing right that some of these other shows are doing incorrectly?
Well, they have some really great writers. Absolutely fantastic cast. They do, I think, get a lot of negative... it's not like the comics. It's not like the graphic novels. I don't think they're trying to be. I think they're trying to weave pieces of that in. I've read all the graphic novels too. I think that they're trying to weave the pieces together, and bring some of the characters and some of the ideas in.
It's its own thing.
Beth, don't you think...
It's its own thing. Yes.
Don't you think that what they're doing on the show is they strike a really good balance of they string us along a little bit with a storyline, but ultimately they resolve it. And so, with the governor, I thought that, okay, this is going on a really long time, but the resolution was terrific. And so I'm ready for more. They didn't give me too many things that I couldn't keep track of, and I felt satisfied. String me along, but let me in on it. And I felt like Walking Dead does that really, really well.
Yes. I believe that's true, and I think that they're going to prove that once again on October 12th, because I think almost immediately we resolve part of the issue that they're in, and move on to the next thing. And I don't know. I mean, it's a great cast, great writing.
Absolutely.
But they just gave you some answers. That's all you wanted, some answers.
Yes. And they were also smart about, it took them a while to kill off any of our characters. And when they killed them off, we felt like we really lost something. Like, I didn't want them to kill Dale. I needed that character, but they killed him, and it really gave us all something to talk about. So they resolved something. We may not have liked it, but it kept us in because they were doing things.
Sure.
All right. Well, Beth, listen, thank you for joining in. We just wanted to get someone else's input on this thing. And the fact that you're out after two episodes and the leftovers, I think, says a whole lot.
I think it says you're smarter than I am.
Sounds like you and I, Gary, could be BFFs because...
No,
once again, like in most experiences, I think Tony's out of this.
Beth, thank you for listening.
Tony looks fed up.
And I'm gonna do my best to dig out an Afro picture for you.
Oh, how nice!
I saw the gauntlet thrown, man.
Did you see mine?
Oh yeah, I saw yours.
Okay.
Oh yeah, Gary. Yeah, Gary has issued a challenge. Oh, Beth would have some pictures.
issued a challenge that said, the fro down, throw down. That I have the fro to equal Tony's or to surpass it.
Beth, let me just say, if you find a picture, I know you've got pictures, but I have pictures of you too, and you pretty much you pretty much had a fro at one point. It was kind of poofy, and
that perm thing, that was probably a bad idea.
Hey, Beth, with Tony, no Photoshop allowed.
won't be necessary. Won't be necessary.
Okay.
All right, Beth Lee, good to talk to you.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Beth.
Yeah.
You know what? Another show that I guess probably dates back about 10 years that did a great job with many plot lines, but always gave you something every episode was 24. Did you guys watch 24?
I did not.
The Kiefer Sutherland show?
I didn't.
It was shot in, you know, ostensibly real time. Yes, it was 24 hours and their cell phones never needed charging.
Right.
But the thing about it is in every episode there was a payoff of some sort.
And they have they had a wonderful contrivance on that show, which was everything took place within a 24-hour period.
Yeah. Exactly.
That was very smart.
I stayed with that show for every season.
The only reason I didn't watch it is because at the time I was working morning television and just couldn't really watch primetime TV.
It's a great show.
And you were DVRing the cartoons in the morning, right? I don't know why I'm doing this today, because you could so easily say, Rob Ford, you know what? You're taking over.
Right. Cut his mic.
He didn't really DVR cartoons.
No.
He wouldn't do that.
Does anybody here watch The Blacklist?
No, but everybody has told me I need to.
Well, it's a really good show. I wish you watch it, because they do a weird thing on that show where... On this recent episode, the characters had to go, the FBI agents, there was a lead in Warsaw that they had to go take care of.
Right.
So they go, and then a couple of scenes later, they're back in D.C. while other characters have only had lunch. It's the timing on the show is very weird.
It looked
weird.
Like D.C., but they're still in Warsaw.
A lot of people don't know that the city was based on Warsaw.
Exactly.
They used Pierre Lafont. Use the layout. That's right. Warsaw.
That's right.
They had the same architects.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Chris Paul.
Enough of that.
Yeah, Chris Paul is here. He's waiting in the wings, so I do want to bring him in.
We don't have wings.
Darn it.
Rob Ford, could you please get Mr. Paul for us,
Where are
please?
The wings when you need them?
This is exactly what we need right now.
It's Tony and Gary. The Tony Perkins Show.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Ford. Joining us now here in the studio is my good friend, as I said earlier, one of the funniest people I have ever met in my entire life. Chris Paul is here with us. Hello,
all
Chris.
Right.
The studio.
Yeah.
We're
in
Tony's bathroom. Listen to these acoustics.
Oh, that's not fair. We got four levels to this place.
This is a very nice place. I've been here an hour. Do you tell your white guests to get here an hour early? Or just the black ones? I guess you don't have to tell the white ones to get here an hour early.
No.
They
no.
just do it.
Tony laid down a dictum, and that's a clean word.
Okay.
And he said, and I'm going to be fair about this, he said no white guests.
Oh, well, good.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about, Tony Sharpton.
Tony Sharpton.
That's why I do the show in blackface.
Oh, wow. All right.
I didn't know you were going to be so prompt, Chris. I would have told you otherwise. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Saturday morning, got the day off, and I'm down here. Everything's great.
You know, everything is great, but can I just say one thing just as a kind of to lead into Chris? But there's something I'm having kind of a somber moment.
Why is that?
Well, I need to explain something that's happened. Something very, very big has happened.
No.
I think it's gigantic, and I think it has to be brought up. Floyd Creaky Creekmore, the clown, has died.
Creaky Creekmore?
He's the oldest clown. He has ridden his tricycle to the big top in the sky.
Oh, no.
And at the age of 98... I was very sad. That's why Tony and I rode tricycles into the studio today.
I wondered.
Creaky is dead. Creaky lived in Montana, and he was a white clown. I'm sorry, Chris, but no less funny for being white. But I just thought we needed to give him his props because he was the oldest clown in the country, and I'm very saddened by it. You don't look like you.
I hate clowns. All right.
You know, I'm telling this story. He doesn't look like he cares at all.
My first love to a clown. I did. She was cheating on me with the clown. I came home one day and found white makeup on her thighs. I said, "What is this? What is this?"
Hey, can I just ask something? Where was the red nose?
You don't want to know. You don't want to know.
You've hit a sore spot, Gary.
I ended up wearing that nose. I won't tell you where.
Yeah.
What is this in here?
All right, well, maybe we need to give a song.
We're making love. It's hot, 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 hot. What is that?
What is going on here?
Well, you told me when Chris Paul comes in, we're going to lose control of the show.
Oh, very quickly. Yeah. Very quickly. Yeah. I did hear what you were talking about. And Chris, we will get to you in a moment.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not sure. Deal with Creaky the Clown.
Well, I don't know why I brought up this
set. Deal with the living.
Yeah.
The living who's here an hour early. Let's deal with the dead clown first.
Yeah, a 98-year-old dead clown.
Can't even close the casket with his freaking shoes on.
No, no, they built a casket with the shoe part sticking out.
Oh, okay.
Wouldn't that be funny for a clown casket?
Yeah.
Do you feel bad when anybody dies?
Of course. What's wrong with you, man? All right. What the hell am I, Satan? Well, am I the Prince of Darkness up here? Well, what the hell?
Creaky has a family, you know? They care.
Yeah,
you know?
Okay.
They're not on the show today, okay. But they care. All right.
And clowns don't have families. Clowns are loners, just so you know.
I'm not sure that Chris and I are getting along.
Basically, well, so far you've hit on some very sore subjects and you've called him Satan.
Right. You care when anybody dies?
I'll bet you've never been asked that question in an interview.
You know, we were going to give Creaky a 21 horn salute. Forget it. Forget
it's done. It's done. How about just one?
All right. Give him a two.
Something good.
A moment, please.
No. That's the best you could. He was what, 98 years old?
Not only that, 98. That made Chris happy, but nobody else.
Well, all right, let's go a little deeper. We can do better.
Okay. There you go.
All right, that's enough.
Now we're doing one for every decade of his life. 10 horn salute.
That's a good rap sample.
Let's keep going. Let's do that again. Chris is coming up with something. Let's do that again.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah. Freestyle. Chris Paul. Tony Perkins. Let's keep it working for the clowns who are brown. Downtown. Peep the sounds. What up now? East Coast. Big Apple Circus.
Oh, fantastic. Now, that is a tribute to Creaky.
Well, we're going to send that to Creaky's family, and now we have done him justice.
His family in Montana, they'll love that, I'm sure.
We're going to send it to his 80-year-old grandkids.
Yeah. Well, there's one black guy in that town.
Probably.
Oh, yeah.
And he's visiting.
Chris, it is good to see you, man.
Good
Thanks
to see
for
you,
coming
bro.
In. Listen, you're one of the busiest guys I know. I don't know how many different things you're doing now. How often are you on the road with Huggy?
We're out probably, I don't know, 3 weekends a month.
Okay, all right.
Three weekends a month.
Huggy Lowdown, Chris's partner, together, extremely funny. Got together really for the Donnie Simpson show on WPGC, right?
Right. We were looking for somebody to do our gossip segment, and I've known Huggy forever, very funny comedian, so we brought him in, and the next thing you know, it launched us back to number one in the D.C. market, and from then, he got snatched away by the Tom Joyner show,
and
I couldn't go. I was under contract, and as soon as my contract ended, like 12 years a slave, brother, I bolted north! Free.
So now you and Huggy are both on the Tom Joyner show. How many years now?
Huggy's been on there now 7 years. I've been on there 6 years. I know, time flies, doesn't it?
It does really fly. It does fly. Well, these guys are on the road all the time. And Gary, I'm telling you, you got to go to one of their shows. You will be on the floor.
I can't wait.
Yeah, very, very, very
funny.
Raw comedy. Uncut.
Just the way you like it.
Uncut, uncircumcised.
Well, we're not sure we like that.
Yeah. Today of all days.
Yeah. You know what?
Oh my God.
I used to have a job. I've had some terrible jobs. I used to work in the hospital. I used to sweep up after circumcisions.
Really?
Come on.
Yeah. It didn't pay a lot, but every customer left a tip.
Wow.
Well, we need a rim shot. We need
is bringing back the Catskills.
Another job I got fired from, I was working at Victoria's Secret. I got fired. They caught me sniffing the returns.
Whoa. And then what happened? Oh, man.
What's been your best job?
Best job is this job, bruh.
Yeah?
Radio, stand-up comedy.
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing Redskins Late Night, the Redskins television show. Where this is our 10th season.
10 seasons?
10th season.
That is unbelievable. Which station?
NBC4.
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 You don't have to be so, you know.
And everyone's talking, change the name, so we are doing it. It is now Redskins Late Night with an exclamation point at the end.
That's so you
Redskins
mean it.
Late
there
Night.
You go.
Yes.
There you
we
go.
We change the name.
You know, responding to the people, I think that's what you're all about. I think
think that's what I'm
fantastic.
About. That's what I'm about.
Yeah, that's great. And that show's going well. You have stars. Well, you know what? For the people who are here local, you do the show. Where are you doing the show now? I know you used to do it.
We had a deal with, I don't remember the name of the place.
The Green Turtle.
Green Turtle. Right. Yeah, we do it the Green Turtle, but now we're at the Bigger, Badder Bar Louie's at One Loudon.
Bar Louie's, yeah.
Where I live. That's a great place.
One Loudon, yeah, it's great. It's always jumping.
What night do you take?
Tuesday nights, always a Redskins player coming in. Superstar player when we win.
Yep.
Offensive lineman when we lose. So, special teamer.
So you've had a lot of offensive linemen recently.
Yeah, man.
How hard is it to do a show like that when the team is not good and they're not winning?
I mean, it's not that hard because we're not really a sports show. You know, we don't talk X's and O's on on our show. We talk to the player about them as a person and do jokes and stuff like that. So we don't deal with that kind
of
stuff.
It's an entertainment show, really.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
You know who one of his biggest fans is who comes out to his tapings? My son, Connor.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he's one of my biggest fans. He bypasses me every single time and goes right to the player.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's one thing that's consistent is that Connor loves Chris, Connor loves the players, Connor loves Gary. I don't know that Connor likes Tony.
Yeah, right.
He's drawn to others.
Really? He just likes me because I can connect him with these other people.
Well, you're the hookup man. You must be hooking it up.
We did do a show where Connor said that I was funnier than his father.
It's a running theme.
That's not
here.
A great thing. Can I rewind back about 10 minutes just on the tape, just because I heard something, that whole thing about circumcision? I was just curious.
You're stuck on that.
Well, you can get stuck
now,
on
wait,
circumcision.
Can I, first of all, this is dangerous when you say, I'm stuck on circumcision. I was just curious. I don't know what question's coming out, Chris.
No, you don't.
You know, this isn't the Dr. Oz show.
Thank God.
Of course, yeah.
There's a little experience there. Yeah. I was just wondering, since they just passed, how did you celebrate Yom Kippur, and what did you atone for?
I don't know what the hell that is. What is it?
See?
Yom Kippur?
See? We get no respect.
Yom Kippur?
We get nothing.
It's a Jewish high holiday, right?
Yes, it is.
Is it one of the high holidays?
Is it one of the high holidays?
Well, I mean, aren't there?
It's not as big as Kwanzaa, but it's a high holiday.
Wow.
Yeah,
but some holidays are called high holidays. What's the difference?
Because most Jews get high on the No, it's the highest of the holidays. You're high holiday. It's the highest.
It's the most sincere and somber holiday, right?
Yeah. Well, you know how you Gentiles have this thing where you there's confession and there's confession for you practically every day, but for Jews, there's only one day a year that is a day of atonement and confession, and we're completely absolved from everything.
Oh, you're Jewish. I didn't even know you were Jewish.
Oh, you didn't know?
No.
I thought I showed you.
No, I didn't know. And speaking of circumcision, in Elton John's book, he talked about how he got circumcised as an adult.
Oh.
And so he did it, and then it was very hard for him because he and his lover could not have sex for like 2 weeks. So they just sat around and chewed the fat. That's all.
Yeah, that's it.
That made me uneasy.
You know, it's true that when you have a circumcision as an adult, you are definitely laid up.
Oh, yeah, true enough. You can't be doing anything.
No, nothing. That's not an operation you want to have it as an adult.
No.
You're, we can leave this now. Yeah.
You'll come back.
Brought to you by Arby's. We've got the meat.
How is your lovely daughter?
Marley Rose is great.
Yes, yes.
She's 11 years old. She's spectacular. Greater than me.
Isn't that great that the kids are? Yeah. Is she funny?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So is Connor.
Absolutely.
So is Connor. I kind of want to fix Connor up with his daughter. She's beautiful.
You have to ask him that. I don't really think you can decide.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, you have to worry about that.
I got to wait and see what kind of income he has.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he plans on being an NFL quarterback.
Oh, in that case, yeah. Yeah, I'll post on to my daughter getting punched out in the elevator. If he's a starter.
As long as he's a starter.
Then she can get
hit.
Can't get knocked out by a backup. What kind of crap is that?
You have to draw the line somewhere.
Right.
Luckily, you've got scruples.
You're amazing.
That's fantastic.
One of my favorite things that I ever had the chance to do, because both Chris and I had the experience of working with Donnie Simpson. I did it from 1985 to, I think, 92 or 93 at KYS. And then Chris and Donnie were together at WPGC for 16 years, 15. Right? Yeah, long, long time.
That's an eternity in radio. Yeah. Wow, good for you.
We there was a big celebration of Donnie's 30th anniversary in radio in Washington, I guess. Or maybe it was in radio, period. I don't remember. And there was a big show at the Warner Theater that Chris and I got to co-host. And I think that was the first time, aside from being on the radio together at various times and maybe doing some TV interviews, that was the first time we'd really worked together, I think.
Right, other than the movie reviews and stuff like
that.
This was the first time on a stage.
Right,
on stage. And it was great. Together. I mean, it was really a big event.
Yes, it was.
It was like hosting the Oscars.
It was. The place was sold out. People were wishing Donnie well and all that kind of stuff. One of the people by video was Barack Obama, who was a senator at that time, but was running for president.
I've heard of him, yeah.
Yeah. And we surprised Donnie with an appearance by Smokey Robinson, who came out.
Smokey came out.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. It was great. It was a great, great night. But that was, you know, I actually, after we did that, I had hoped there would be more occasions for us to do stuff together. There haven't been, unfortunately, but
There's today.
Yeah,
there's today. Yeah. And movie
all
reviews.
Building up to this.
Movie reviews. Chris, I got Chris on Channel 5 years ago when I was first working there to do our movie reviews. And the funny thing about it was it started off as, you know, you would review a couple of movies.
Right.
But these were elaborate. They were taped pieces. They weren't live in the studio.
Oh, okay.
These turned into really comedy bits that would have a little movie review at the end of it.
Every week, a different sketch based on, I guess, the movie we were reviewing or something that was happening in the news.
Right.
It was great.
And it was a lot of fun, got a very good response. And the thing that I don't know if I ever told you this, but Lark McCarthy was the co-anchor at the time. And Lark's wonderful. But Lark is, you know, serious and, you know.
News lady.
Yeah. Serious news lady. Every week, Chris would do stuff in the tape while we're taping it. And I would just fall out laughing. I would say, we can't do that. We can't say that. Lark, you know, Lark will never. So we would go through these things. Finally, we get a take. I say, all right, that's fine. And then the morning when it was going to air, before it would air, I would think to myself, oh, I don't know. I always felt like you just wore me down to the joke you really wanted to do. And it was always, you know, right up against the line. Never crossed the line, but right up against
the
line.
You never got in trouble.
No.
Good for you. That speaks well.
I can't remember. Why did it end?
I don't know
why it ended.
Did it end because I left, or did it end before then?
Lark McCarthy demanded it.
That's right. That's got to be it. Yeah, because you wouldn't do Morning America.
Yeah. Because
you bastard, you left me there.
I know. But it was a good time. We had a lot of fun.
It was a good time.
Yeah, we should do that again sometime.
Nah. I've really moved on, Tony. You just read my credits, didn't you? How do you think I'm going back for? I'm not Matthew McConaughey. I'm not looking. Sometimes you got to go back. No, you don't.
He played along just as long as he could.
No, really.
And as soon as you wanted him to, like, sign something, it was no.
But it was over.
Obviously, hey, he's riding a rocket, and he doesn't want to do this.
Right. He is riding a rocket.
Riding a rocket.
Yeah, you're doing great. You got a DVD that's out now?
The DVD. Get it on Amazon.com or iTunes. Huggy Lowdown and Chris Paul live in D.C. It is hilarious.
Where was it shot in D.C.?
It was shot at the Howard Theater, brand new, restored Howard Theater. Beautiful, beautiful place.
Probably a great crowd and everything.
It
good,
was fantastic.
Good show. A lot
it
of fun.
Was fantastic.
Yeah. How long has this been out? How long have you been selling this?
DVD's been out for about a year now.
Okay. All right. And is it called Huggy Lowdown and Chris Paul Live in D.C.?
That's the name of it.
Did you bring any to give out to the rest of us here in the studio?
No, man.
Yeah, what happened with that? What happened with that? You're on the air for an hour.
That would mean I like you.
No.
This is a business deal. I came here to plug my DVD.
Yeah.
And I'm leaving.
You didn't come with one single gift. Not one.
Yeah, we have something for you.
I'm sending it to Creaky the Clown. That's where I'm sending it.
We have something for you. All of our guests receive. Catch that.
Oh, good.
Swirly cupcakes.
There you go.
I believe now that Creaky has died, the world's oldest clown is named Swirly Cupcakes.
That's right.
So we've come full circle. Yes.
Actually, it was a stripper I saw once.
And
Swirly Cupcakes.
You know what? Sparing no expense. Feel free to have both of those cupcakes.
Yeah.
Hey, they're both yours.
Look at the expiration on this. I have like 8 minutes to eat these. Before I die of creamy filling poisoning.
We know how to get rid of stuff.
The hell?
If you'd gotten here on time, you would have had more time.
I was on time. I was early.
You could split them, one for you, one for Huggy.
Yeah.
Now, I knew you do the Redskins show. You're from here. Besides the, well, let me ask you this. The Redskins this year, how do you think, now, when we're recording this, we're only 4 or 5 games into the season. Do you think they're going to get out of this hole that they're digging themselves into?
So, hold on. This is going to air before or after this we play the Seahawks on Monday?
This will air after the Seattle game.
Oh, it's over. It is over. No, I'm kidding. Bro, no, I mean, if we win this game against Seattle, then anything's possible, bro. You can turn this thing around. Our division is not that great, really.
But, you know, here's the thing. Our division is not that great, but the only teams that really are showing improvement are Philly, New York, and the Cowboys. We're not.
Yeah. Don't look at me. I don't look at sports.
We are showing some improvement, though. I mean, we got killed. Yeah, we got killed by the Giants.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know. We look a lot better to me than we did last year.
I think generally speaking, we do. The Giants game disappointed me because that was a great opportunity to advance even more.
Right.
I thought we played Philly very, very tough, and I thought we would beat the Giants. Right. I was shocked by what happened in that game.
To me, it wasn't players in the Giants game. It was coaching. I mean, Eli did whatever he wanted to do, and then after halftime, they made absolutely no adjustments whatsoever, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. he continued to do whatever he wanted to do. And I think we also got to see the Kirk Cousins, you know? Everybody was like, Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins.
He's human.
He's white Jesus. White Jesus better than black Jesus.
Again, Gary, a different perspective in our community.
White Jesus better than black Jesus. Oh, yeah?
Just make a list of the explanations for me at the end of the show. Rob Spiewak, why don't you and I talk about some of our favorite football teams? That'll be quick.
I used to follow the Redskins when they were in Boston. I mean, but this was some time ago.
It must have been a long time ago.
Excellent team then. There were no special teams then. It was one team.
Do you? That's right. Special team. Just get out there and play.
Shut up.
If you ever got, and I know this can't happen because you're based in Washington, you do a Redskins show, but if you ever were so frustrated that you wanted to move on to another team, who would you choose?
Another team?
Yeah, if you had to support.
Cowboys.
No.
Really? Hey, you asked him. You asked him.
How do you go from the Redskins to the Cowboys?
You mean do a television show for them, or do you mean just root for them?
Root for them.
Oh, no, I wouldn't root for them. I want to do a television show just so I could sabotage the entire operation.
Oh, yeah. Very good.
That's what he was looking for.
Exactly.
I like that. You're a good man.
Yeah, but I wouldn't root for any other team. I mean, there are other teams. I like other players.
Sure, me too.
I like the Steelers my whole life, you know? Because when I was a kid, they're the only ones on television.
Right.
There was no NFL package or ticket on DirecTV. You saw the game of the week.
Whatever the game was,
it was
the
Redskins locally. And then, it would be like the Steelers and the Cowboys. So I chose the Steelers.
Are you a Nationals fan, baseball?
I like the Nationals. I don't really root for them. I mean, I'm an Orioles fan.
Okay. All right.
I mean, that's the team I grew up with. There was no team here. But I wish the Nationals well.
Okay. Rob, did you bring some cards?
Yes, I do. I brought tarot cards.
Well, you can jump in anytime you know. Just because the Yankees are out of it and we can't talk about the Yankees.
That's a sad story.
Yeah,
they're pathetic. They don't deserve to be anywhere this year. All right.
Hateful.
And they're not. And they're not anywhere.
They're nowhere.
Farewell to Derek Jeter, though.
Yeah.
Oh,
what'd you think about that whole thing?
I mean, I've hated Derek Jeter his entire career just because he's a Yankee. But
I bet you love
him anyway,
I was sad
to see him.
Right?
Yeah, I love him now. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, the Yankees are so, I know they're so pathetic. You just feel sorry for the
guy.
You
do.
You know, so.
That shouldn't have been his last year with that team, you know, with those guys. He was with some great
to
people.
To go out,
With them.
Right,
you know?
But still, the way he went out was great.
Yeah.
The way he went out was great.
And the way every stadium, every team celebrated him. To watch the Orioles stand up and celebrate him, that was amazing.
And in Fenway,
and
not a very popular man in that city.
Right.
But they did embrace him. I thought that was very, very cool.
And there's too much put on that. Most people do not go out on top. Most greats.
It's true.
No.
Most greats and legends do not go out on top.
They stay too long.
Right. There's only a few people you can name that finished on top.
Right.
You know, I just watched a movie last night. A guy finished on top. Ray J. he finished on top.
Well, yeah.
I don't know if you call him one of the greats. But he was pretty damn good that day. That day he was all right.
And who knew that Kardashian would be the big star?
Right.
that had to come out of that movie. Kim Carter. All right, Chris Paul, you're not. Chris Paul, you got no gigs you want to promote?
No gigs I want to promote, man.
All right. You can check them out on DVD. It's the Huggy Lowdown and Chris Paul Live in D.C. available on Amazon,
iTunes or website, HuggyChrisPaul.com.
Also Huggy great Chris to Paul. Visit Amazon through the Mike O'Mara Show link. Please.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, that helps us too. And Tom Joyner Show every
Tom
morning.
Tom Joyner Show every morning. You can catch me with my segment, The Morning Minute. It runs twice. And check out my boy Huggy Lowdown. He does his gossip segment each and every day. And follow me on Twitter at Chris Paul Comedy.
Very funny.
Chris Paul
you.
Comedy.
Yeah. And if you want to check out Chris's Redskin Show and you're here in Washington, it's on Channel 4. What night?
Saturday night. After Saturday Night Live. Yeah. Or you can check us out. We're also on some stations around the country if you have Comcast.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, good for you. Comcast, so.
Oh, very. You're doing big That's things, good, Chris Paul.
Thank you for the cupcakes.
You're welcome.
You got it.
I'm getting the hell out of here.
Thank you for coming by.
I'm going out on top. I'm not waiting for you guys to cut me. I'm leaving on my own terms. I'm taking my cupcakes, going home, lay down with my Creaky the Clown doll. Suck my thumb and take a nap.
Yeah, that sounds like an afternoon.
God bless you and God bless the United States of America.
Doesn't get better than that.
Thank you, Chris. I love you.
My man, love you,
Good back. To see you, man. We'll see you sometime soon.
It's Tony and Gary, the Tony Perkins Show.
My sides are hurting.
My sides are aching.
Yeah.
Funny man. funny man.
And him and Huggy together, oh my goodness, unbelievable.
Do they actually take the stage together?
No, they take it separately. And
I don't think they could.
Oh, you wait until he left.
Very brave now that he's gone.
Yeah, say what you want now that he's out of the room.
But no, they mainly do their own, their separate acts.
Okay, very cool.
Funny stuff.
Listen.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm really excited.
Do you
excited.
Want to know a secret?
Do I? Everything is the Beatles.
Always.
No. Really? No. Like, no. Like, no is real.
The Beatles!
Nothing is real.
I know that's a curveball. I don't like to throw curveballs, but you know when you're in your twilight, when you're falling asleep, and sometimes you get your best ideas? I thought if we ever revisit Beatles trivia, as we did, I guess.
Oh, if we ever.
If we ever do, that the correct answers will now be...
The Beatles!
And the incorrect answers will now be...
The Beatles!
So you know, sorry.
You could play that on every show for no reason.
Exactly.
You could, exactly. Well,
anytime I mention the Beatles, then
right.
The Beatles.
Let's do that. Every
okay.
Time.
Very good. Every very time. Good. Okay. Now we've got something to root for.
Well, I'm really excited.
Yes.
Because we're introducing a brand new segment
brand
on
new
the
segment.
Show.
Yes.
Something we're going to revisit a lot.
Cool.
And it's loosely called. We can change the title. Peculiar and Unique Celebrity Moments.
Mm. Oh, terrible and unique.
Terrible name, but it does.
How do you mean that?
Well, it imparts what we're going to do
in the best possible way.
Yeah,
well, because these celebrity moments are not really going to be, the kind of upbeat celebratory things you would expect.
Okay,
they're going to be a little weird.
Not really standard red carpet fare.
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
No,
they don't always end well, I guess.
No. And I have. Many,
mm-hmm.
And I have many to tell.
You have some funny stories.
But you know, one of my favorites is not mine. One of my favorite celebrity moments was from my writing partner in L.A. for many, many years. Don't take this the wrong way, because I'm not saying my best. One of my very best friends whole life.
He just told you that the name of your segment was horrible. You can tell him whatever you want.
Thank you.
You've spoken of Sam. Sam is his name many times.
Sam. Yeah. Sam Ingrafia is my old writing partner. We have escapades in L.A. and mm-hmm. pitching shows and acting together. So Sam has... I wanted to tell the story. I said to Tony yesterday, no. Sam has got to tell the story. Can we get Sam on the phone?
Please.
Let's do that.
Hello?
Sam?
Yes.
Sam and Graffia, this is your life.
Oh, no.
I never know how to say hello. Should I be nonchalant? Should I be, I'm very busy right now. What's this all about? Are you trying to sell me? Are you cleaning my carpet? I don't need my carpet cleaning.
No, I wanted to sell you Amway products.
Luckily, I need Amway products. So good. Let's see what you have.
Very good. Okay, we'll be right over. Sam,
thank you.
I don't know. Tell me if you echo this. I introduced you as one of my best friends in the world. And if you want to contradict that, go ahead.
I would knock off a couple of bests and maybe say maybe two bests. No. Obviously, I exactly the same. Not only that, but we also had a career where 400 times we were almost successful and somehow managed to always screw it up.
You know what? I don't really think that you and I screwed it up. I really think that they just didn't see what was really there. You know?
That's the way to look at it.
I don't want to sound too Freudian, but I think that might be a rationalization.
Hey, Sam, this is Tony Perkins.
How are you, sir?
I'm good. I've heard many, many, many stories about you and Gary back in the day, and
yes.
It just sounds like you all have had a very special relationship. And I think I inherited Gary from you.
Hey, Sam,
and I say God bless you, and I wish you all the best.
I was going to say that our special relationship did not ever involve a hotel room.
Exactly, or farm animals, but
No. Although there was a sheep one day, and I think we
but he was very nice.
Sammy, listen, and I think besides your mother, I'm the only one who calls you Sammy. I think that you will probably be on the show several times, but here's what I was leading up to. Let me tell you why we called. I said that we're introduced.
not Amway products?
No.
He sounds so disappointed.
I thought it would be Amway.
No.
So why did you call?
And I also didn't call because I missed you.
So
we introduced a new segment on the show today, and you should feel really good about this because it's called Peculiar Celebrity Moments or Unique Celebrity Moments, and I have many. But I said, I don't have any as good as one that I'm thinking about that Sam and Graffia went through. And I really want you to just take us through your Twilight Zone celebrity moment that could have been wonderful, but it was as weird as could be.
Can I? Should we say who the celebrity was?
No.
Don't say,
yeah, no.
Don't say.
No. Sam, you set it up. You tell us where you were. Tell us where you went. Tell us who you saw. And if you don't do Sammy, you'll never be on again.
Right. You have my agent's name, and they'll contact somebody else. I have to believe it's with Orson Welles. Is that the one you're talking about?
Yes, it is.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Wow. Orson Welles.
Yeah. This is one of the high point, low points in my life in like 12 seconds where guys who were from my generation had like three or four people who were just like iconic.
Sure.
And mm-hmm. It would be Brando, Cary Grant, and Orson Welles, because mm-hmm. I always wanted to be as charming as Cary Grant.
Not a
I
chance.
Wanted to be as, well, that's obviously, but I could hope. And then I could be as intense as Brando, but then I wanted to be as creative as Orson.
Mm-hmm.
So I go to this. Well, this is. I have to preface this by saying this is a point in my career when I was auditioning for characters that always had numbers after their name,
as in
policeman number two, bad guy number three. And I had gone to Paramount to audition for my favorite bad guy number three, because bad guy number one is the smartest of the dumb brothers, or dumb bad guys, and he's the guy who always finds out that the cop is a plant. And then bad guy number two is like the second brother, and he's like, he's a cop. And then bad guy number three is the guy who says, let's just kill him. And you go, okay, so whatever, you know, maybe he's a cop, maybe he's not a cop, we'll just kill him so then we don't have to worry about it. So you're feeling pretty good about yourself, right?
You're feeling pretty good.
Yeah, I knocked it out of the park, man. It was like, you know, he's dangerous, he's violent, yeah. But he cares for, you know, bad guy number one and number two, and it's a dangerous world, so you got to do what you got to do. I brought all those colors to
it. That's a good one.
I feel really good about it.
Yes.
And so I'm driving off with a lot of Paramount, and Also, this is a point, and Gary can back this up. I'm like an old Italian man. If I don't, if it's like 2 minutes after 12 and I haven't had lunch,
oh boy,
my hands start to shake and I get like crazy.
You want to talk cranky? So, cranky.
Yeah. So this is a point. This is a point where I couldn't eat before auditions because I get so revved up that I was afraid I would throw up at the audition. So I haven't had anything since breakfast. So I'm absolutely starving. I drive off the lot of Paramount, and across the street from the main gate of Paramount is Lucy's El Adobe, which is kind of a old restaurant that was really famous at the time because Jerry Brown, who was the governor of California at the time, ironically, he is now the governor of California again. He decided in between he wanted to be president, and then he wanted to be the mayor of Oakland. Now he decided he wanted to be the governor of California. So anyway, I go there because I'm going to hang out because I'm a Hollywood player, and I'm gonna have lunch at Lucy's El Adobe. So it's really, really, it's like probably 2:30 in the afternoon. My stomach is growling. I'm really, really hungry. It's blazing hot outside. You walk into Lucy's El Adobe, and it's so dark. It's like you're like in a cave in Afghanistan. There's like three candles, and you can't see anything. They seat me at a table. The waiter tells me, okay, what do you want to order? I have no idea because I can't read the so dark. And I order something that has a lot of refried beans. That's all I remember is it had a lot of refried beans.
I bet other people remember it also.
That could become a pivotal point of the story later. But, I order my food. I'm sitting there. I'm looking cool. I'm an actor. I'm in Hollywood. I'm at Lucy's El Adobe. My eyes start to, you know, dilate so I can actually see. And I see, like, literally, there's nobody else in the restaurant except me and Orson Welles sitting, like, three tables over.
Wow.
And he's just, like, plowing the food into his mouth like it's going out of style. I think, okay, this is one of those moments where in life I'm going to tell my grandchildren about it and you guys about this story. I got to go over and I got to say something to Orson Welles. So I get up, I walk over to his table and I say, Mr. Welles, I just want to say, you know, what an honor it is to meet you. You've meant so much to the industry. You're one of the iconic figures. And he looks up to me and goes, well, why don't you sit down? So now it's one of those terrible moments where I don't know if he means go get your food and sit down, or if it just means sit down and we'll chat for a couple of minutes and then you can awkwardly get up and go back to your table. So I go, okay, and I sit down. So now he's shoveling the food in, and I have no food, and I'm sitting there staring at him, and I think, okay, well, you know, this is going to be all right. I'll just think of something clever to say. We'll get the conversation going. And I'm having a conversation in my head with myself. I'm going, okay, ask him about when they go down on the skylight and they go through the wall in Citizen Kane when he's talking to Susan. How did you do that? And then I'm thinking, no, that's not a good case. He's probably been asked that a zillion times. Okay. Was the third man like some kind of comment on communism and about the Marshall Plan? And I'm like, no, that's too complicated. He's eating lunch. You don't want to bother him. So now I literally have been sitting there for probably 2 minutes and I haven't said a word.
Oh, that's not
so
awkward.
Then okay, thank you, Mr. Welles. It's really been a pleasure, and I'm going to go, grab my food. And he goes, well, why don't you bring it over?
Wow.
So now it's one of those terrible moments where I think I was going to make, like, a nice exit, but now I got to go walk to my table, get the food, and walk all the way back with the food, and then sit down. So I get my food, I sit down, and now he's ordered more food. And he's enormous. He's like 4 feet wide. He's like four people inside of an awning. He's so big. So I'm sitting there, and now I start to eat. And this is where I was referring to the refried beans.
Right.
They've now turned into like mastic that you can attach floor tiles. They're like so hard and greasy. And so I take like one forkful of the refried beans and they're like stuck in my throat. And I'm thinking, this is perfect. I'm like in a throw up or die in front of Orson Welles. So I don't know what to do. And again, I think, okay, think of anything to say to him. And I repeat what I had said initially. You are such an icon and it's such a pleasure to meet you. And he gives me this look like that's the best you can come up with. And at that point I go, well, okay, thank you. And now I've eaten like literally two forkfuls of food. That's all I've eaten. So I go, I pay for my lunch. I walk out to the car. I'm sitting in the car, and I'm pounding on my head going, I can't believe you had an opportunity to talk to Orson Welles, and you didn't say anything. And then my stomach starts to growl, and I realize I'm still hungry because I didn't eat any food. I had like 2 forkfuls of refried beans, so I basically go, should I go back in and order another lunch? That's really weird. And then Orson Welles will still be there and he'll see me come back in and he'll say, are you going to come and talk to me again? So I literally get in my car and I drive to McDonald's and I eat a hamburger all by myself. And ladies and gentlemen, it left no lasting scars on me.
Wow.
That's your lunch with Orson Welles.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness,
Sam! I give you a lot of credit for having the guts to tell that story.
Yeah. And thank you so much for bringing it up, so that all your listening audience knows what a moron I am.
Whenever you come on, I'm going to invite you to bring on more things that are more embarrassing than anything I can think of.
Well, the good news is I have a lot of stories that are really embarrassing, so we could do this a lot of times. So
I seem to remember that whenever we were anywhere, we auditioned for a lot of things together, we wrote a lot of things together. Whenever we were in a situation where you were in the slightest bit uptight...
We're not going for this, are
now,
we?
Wait a minute. Oh, if anybody saw broadcast news and they want to know what flop sweat looks like...
Oh, really?
Nobody could sweat like Sam. Nobody. So we would audition for things and there was water running on the floor. So Sam,
well,
I'll
the
help...
Weird thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
The weird thing is, I don't sweat any place but in my armpits. So it wasn't like my face was covered with sweat, but literally the sides of my shirt would be drenched with stuff. So I would have to wear a jacket to hide the fact that I was sweating so much. And it didn't make a difference that it might be 100 degrees outside. I have to wear a jacket because I'm sweating so much.
But Sammy, it didn't matter. We never got the jobs anyway.
No, exactly. Yeah, no.
That might have been why.
I didn't have to wear the jacket. Yeah, I could have left the jacket off.
Here's the only thing. First of all, the story is great. And
wonderful.
You know what? I know it's embarrassing, but it's Orson Welles.
Yeah, it's Orson Welles.
You know, that's a hard person to think of something to say to and have a conversation with this man. Oh, my goodness.
Daunting. When you left the restaurant, did you notice if he ate your refried beans?
he probably did, but I didn't, God bless him, he could have them. He allowed me to sit down. The thing that was weird is I still to this day, this is probably over 30 years ago, I still don't understand why he let me sit down.
Yeah, I know. We talked about that a lot.
If he wasn't going to talk to me, why did he say sit down?
Yeah,
he could
maybe,
have just said, no, thank you, I'm eating.
Yeah, maybe he just didn't want to be alone, or maybe he thought, I'm giving this kid an opportunity to have lunch with me, even though I'm not going to talk to him. You know, I'm giving him a shot.
And also at that point
in
his life.
Thank you, Tony. That makes it even more painful.
At that point in his life, if he didn't talk to people while he was eating, he just didn't talk to people.
Yeah, that's it. And I think at that point in his life, he was eating all day long. So he probably gave a lot of opportunity to chat with young people bothered him.
I think at that point, he and Brenda were having a contest. They were just trying to see who can get fatter.
Man.
It was really amazing.
Who can wear the larger muumuu?
That's right.
Oh, God. He had this jacket. I've never seen a jacket like that. It had, it had no tailored shape to it. It was just literally, it looked like somebody taking a seat cover off of a couch.
Yeah.
And he like just kind of wrapped it around himself. It was also, he was wearing all black, which made it even more intimidating in a very dark restaurant.
It's slimming. It's slimming.
Yeah. It's working for him.
He looked like Twiggy.
I wanted to suggest pinstripes. Pinstripes will help with the slenderization there, but
that would have been great if you'd simply said to him, you should try pinstripes.
That probably would have been a great opener. I mean, we could have had a really nice conversation. You big, enormous, fat pig. Maybe if you wore pinstripes, you wouldn't look so fat.
Well, all these years later, you wouldn't be moaning the fact that you didn't say anything if you at least said that.
Right.
It would probably be a totally different story right now.
I do wonder if after this episode, if Orson Welles had a story to tell to his friends, which
about
was...
you?
I'm in a restaurant. This guy comes in. I see him look at me, so he comes up. He says the usual thing that people say. And I say, kid, come on, sit down with me. Let's have lunch. And then he doesn't say another word.
What a jerk.
And then Sam, he's probably been telling people all his life, I never saw sweat so much running down armpits like that.
I could barely
eat my lunch.
There were puddles on the floor. It wasn't pretty to look at. Thank God I was able to eat his refried beans. I would have been a total loss.
On his way out of the restaurant, he said to the waitress, we serve no refried beans before it's time.
And, you know, I also, you have to plug into the story that I probably still had the crazy guy eyes from my audition, because that was kind of my specialty. Was when you said, you know, let's kill him, you had to give him like the big bulgy eyes and really chomp down after you said it, like, okay, I'm going to choke the casting director to death right here. And you know, you kind of carry that with you afterwards. So I probably looked like I was going to choke him to death when I sat down, and maybe his defense mechanism was just to eat.
The inside stories of Hollywood.
Sam, fantastic. I am so glad I was able to embarrass you all over the internet.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity to humiliate myself in front of your entire audience.
Great story, man.
I often long for those things like that.
Remember more. We will call again.
All right, boys. It was a pleasure. Keep up the good work. I love what you're doing.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Sam. Talk to you soon, buddy. Thank you.
Okie dokie. See ya. Bye.
Hey, you know what's amazing? You and I have known each other all these years, and you've never talked to Sam. You've heard about him at every hurricane or whatever.
Yeah,
that's the guy.
Great guy.
Sounds like a great guy.
Oh, yeah, man.
That is a funny story. All right, I told you we were chock full of stuff today, and we were, and we're out of time. This has been a great show. Thanks, Sam, for taking the time to share an embarrassing story. Not everyone would be willing to do that. I want to thank Chris Paul, who texted me just a moment ago because, you know, didn't I ask him on the show? Is there anything
you
else
gave him several
promote?
Opportunities.
Several opportunities, but he wanted to see you use that phone, I think.
He couldn't remember, but I do want to mention, first of all, we mentioned the DVD, Huggy Lowdown and Chris Paul Live in D.C. You can get it on Amazon.
Yes, go through the Mike O'Mara Show link.
And Chris and Huggy will be performing here in Washington at the DC Improv, January 15th through the 18th, and at the Comedy Factory in Baltimore on New Year's Eve week. So check them out.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that's very, great. Very good.
Starting next week, I'm touring with Engelbert Humperdinck.
Dead or alive?
Alive.
Yeah, he's alive.
He's got a new album out.
He can't.
He does, I swear. Next show.
It's a rap album.
Yeah, it's a rap album. Yeah, with the beeping from. And also, all respects to Creaky the Clown. We will miss you, sir.
Too soon.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. It's been a ball.
Thank you, Tony.
Happy birthday once again, Rob.
Thank you so much. Happy birthday, buddy.
We'll see you next time.
The Tony Perkins Show. A more broadcasting presentation. This is Dude Walker speaking. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Good evening. I'm Orson Welles. Tonight, broadcasting takes a giant leap backward.